Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
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 That translates to Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Bonjour, bienvenue à la Citadelle de Birmingham. Hello, welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Hello, and welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Good morning. I wonder if you've ever had a day that was better than expected. Have you? I hope you've had many. I read a story this week that made me think about this. It was about a man who died alone in apparent poverty. Walter Samasco Jr. left only, apparently, $200 in his bank account. But a search of his house revealed a wealth of treasures, including gold bars and coins to the value of $7 million. Now, that was unexpected. It was a run-of-the-mill home that still had an orange pile carpet. The man had previously shared his house with his mother before she died. He kept himself to himself and unfortunately had been dead for at least a month before worried neighbours alerted officials. When workers came to clear the property, they came across a crawl space from the garage, which led to everything else. Samasco had been buying gold from a local coin dealer, which was found in sealed boxes marked books. Gold was also found wrapped in tin foil stored in ammunition boxes, and family silver set, and a family silver set with rolls of $20 and some Mexican 5-peso coins. The gold coins had been minted as early as the 1840s from countries across the world. Based on their weight, the haul was around $7 million, but the figure was likely to be even higher as some of the coins appeared to be collector's items. Mr. Samasco's entire fortune went to his nearest relative, a cousin. She was tracked down by investigators using a list of people who had attended his mother's funeral 20 years ago, previously. It was quoted that this would be good for her as she was a substitute school teacher who lived in a small apartment. What a surprise. And certainly not what was expected for those workers who went into the house expecting to see a load of junk, but instead found a great treasure. And what a surprise for the cousin, a visit with an outcome that she was not expecting, but far better than anything she could have expected. One moment, a substitute teacher making ends meet, the next, a millionaire. Not a bad day's work, eh? Certainly a day better than expected. Now, Adrian's sermon from last Sunday was on Acts 8, and the story was of Philip and the Ethiopian, one of my favourite stories in Scripture, actually. And this is a story about an encounter that made a day better than expected for both characters. Philip was randomly directed by an angel of the Lord to go along the desert road where he met the Ethiopian, trying to understand Scripture, and was prompted by the Spirit to speak to him and ask him if he understood what he was reading. The Ethiopian didn't, and so Philip asked Philip to help him explain it. And so he made room on his chariot for Philip to sit with him and explain scripture to him. And they say that because of this encounter, the gospel was taken to Africa. This was the beginning of the witness to the ends of the earth that Jesus, just before his ascension to heaven, told his disciples they would do. In the story, both of these men made room for God, and the outcome was far better than expected. Do you remember Adrian's last point of his sermon last week? He talked about how the Ethiopian made room for Philip on his chariot so Philip could explain the scripture, and how we should make room for God and allow him to surprise us with his power at work in and around us. Adrian's sermon has prompted me this week to remember the times when I've really made room for God and been surprised by the outcome, and how it's been far better than I could have expected. Yes, even in those dark and difficult times. And today I want us to think about how we can allow ourselves as individuals and as a Christian community to make room for God, and in so doing, hopefully be surprised by the outcome and how that can be better than expected. And this wedding at Cana is a great example of this. I've been thinking as well this week, I've been doing a lot of thinking this week, that how often we become distracted by the everyday operations of life and ministry, that our expectations of what God can do lessen, and we miss opportunities for him to do something timely and something amazing in, through us, around us. Two men went fishing. One man was an experienced fisherman, the other wasn't. Every time the experienced fisherman caught a big fish, he put it in his icebox ready to keep it fresh. Whenever the inexperienced fisherman caught a big fish, he threw it back. The experienced fisherman watched this go on all day and finally got tired of seeing this man waste good fish. "Why do you keep throwing back all the big fish you catch?" he asked. And the inexperienced fisherman said, "I only have a small frying pan." Sometimes, like that fisherman, we throw back the big plans, the big dreams, the big jobs, the big opportunities that God gives us because we don't want to make room for him. Our faith is too small. We laugh at the fisherman who didn't figure out that all he needed was a bigger frying pan. Yet how ready are we to increase the size of our faith and our trust in God? Whether it's a problem or a possibility, and make room for him. For each of us to spiritually grow, and in the church for us to grow and our ministry to increase, we need to be alert to the opportunities God is giving us to make room for him so he can do his work and surprise us and exceed our expectations. And today, as we look at this wedding in Cana, I want to direct our thinking to three steps that are helpful, are necessary for us as we try to make room for God and open up those opportunities to be surprised by the better than expected outcome. Firstly, we need to recognize the need. A wedding in a small town like Cana may have been the social event of the year. The bridegroom may have been related to Mary and Jesus, as well as some of the other disciples. So we find them at a wedding. More than likely, anybody was in the town there. Now, weddings were a little different to what they are now. The wedding would have lasted all week, and the host would have been expected to supply everything needed for the festivities. And since the whole community was there, it may have been a financial strain on the young couple to provide enough refreshments for everyone. But the pressure was there to do it. In such a close-knit community, failure to provide sufficiently for everyone would have placed a stigma on this couple, perhaps, that could have haunted them for the rest of their lives. Hospitality was of the utmost importance, and running out of wine at a wedding would have been the ultimate no-no. But somehow, the wine ran dry, and the party was about to be over, so it seemed. But, you know, they invited the right person, a person who could meet their need, Jesus. So the need was presented to Jesus. And here in verse 3, it says, "And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no more wine.'" Is there a reason to think that Mary had anything in mind but for Jesus to do something natural, in the natural, to help? Was it just a nervous reaction? Poor Adrian, he often bears the brunt of my nervous reactions to situations. I often ask him to, and expect him to, sort it out, to come up with a solution, even when it's got nothing to do with him or me. Have you got someone like that? He's great at thinking on his feet and coming up with a solution quickly. And I wonder, did Mary just think that of Jesus? They've no more wine. Quickly, sort it. You've got no more wine. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Or maybe Mary had pondered the things that she kept in her heart, the things that were reported by the shepherds when the baby Jesus was born. For there is born to you on this day a Saviour who is Christ the Lord, they said. For those three words, Saviour, the one who would deliver them, Christ, the anointed one, Lord, the literal translation meaning the supreme authority or God. The angels told the shepherds that this child was God. And in Luke 2, verse 19, it says, but Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Is it possible that Mary anticipated the time of Jesus' revealing of himself to the world was then at this wedding? Now, whether or not she knew the type of ministry Jesus would have had then was irrelevant. She did the right thing. She turned to Jesus and made a request for help. She recognized her need for Jesus. If we want to experience those better than expected living experiences, living as individuals or as a Christian community on this journey, we need to make room for God by recognizing that he is the one that we need, simply. The world doesn't understand that even though they may look for all answers to life's questions in self-satisfying acts of pleasure, there's only one who can truly satisfy, who will meet our every need. But knowing the need and knowing the Lord doesn't bring an end to the problem. You have to ask and seek. And this is what Mary does here. And I just wonder if you, like Mary, recognize your need for Jesus in your life. Is he the first you turn to? Do you seek him and ask him? We've no more wine. Recognizing our need for Jesus recognizes that he is the one with the power and authority and the resources. In our own strength and abilities, we're not going to get that better than expected experience for ourselves or for our church. We need to recognize our need for Jesus and his wonder-working power available to us through his Spirit. Mary simply said to Jesus, they have no wine. She took her need to Jesus and expected him to sort it. I strongly suspect that how it turned out was not what she was expecting, but it was far better. And if we want to experience these moments in our lives, if we want to live on that level and see the power of God at work in our lives and in this church, we've got to recognize firstly our need for Jesus. And that's how we start to make room for him and open up our lives to the surprises. Secondly, we've got to respond with obedience. We have to do a bit of the work as well. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. There's no indication that the servants doubted what they were to do. The jars were there to wash hands, but there was no need for anyone to wash their hands again as the party had already begun. So why fill them up? But yet the servants just did what Jesus told them to do. And through their obedience, Jesus worked a miracle. Jesus works through the hands of his people, which is why we need to be the doers in this world. He's no longer here in person, in body, to continue his earthly ministry, but his Spirit is through us. He can't tell anyone any longer of their need for a Savior, but we can. Because we are the jars that he wants to use to pour out ministry into this world. And when we hear the word and become doers, we continue the ministry that he began through us. Through our obedience, he can make something far better than we ever expected. When we become doers, we take the risk without asking questions. When Jesus told the servants to draw some out and take it to the master of the feast, they did just that. We are so often afraid to be led by, we're often led by the spirit of fear. But ours should not be that. It shouldn't be a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. And if we always wait until all the pieces fall into place before we step out, not a lot would get done in his name. Faith is fighting your way through a crowd to touch the hem of the garment. Faith is letting your friend down through the roof of a house so that he could be next to Jesus. Faith is rolling the stone away from the tomb so a man dead for 4 days could walk out. Faith and being obedient to God always involves taking some sort of step out and risk, even though that we know that comes with a chance that we may be exposed to criticism or getting it wrong, which we don't like. But taking that risk, taking that step, making room for God, opens that opportunity for him to surprise us in a better way than expected way. I was looking through my journal the other day and I found something that I'd written a wee while ago, and it said this: "Let my answer be yes, whatever the question, Lord." When Jesus turned the water into wine, Mary told the servants to do whatever he told them. I need to approach the Lord with a do whatever he tells me attitude. Let my answer always be yes. A do whatever he tells me attitude gives us opportunities to see the power of God at work and to be part of that better than expected experience. I want to be part of that. Do you? Let my answer always be yes, Lord. When I was a senior soldier, I remember the song used during my enrollment was a song from one of the final musical, I think it was, that Garens and Larsons wrote, The Meeting. And the song was, "I want to say yes to the Lord of my life." Do some of you remember it? Major Ralph Stewart was my Corps officer at Governing Corps in Scotland, and he made me a senior soldier. And every time our paths have crossed since then, he always asks me, "Are you still saying yes? Are you still saying yes?" I want it always, my answer always, to be a big fat yes for the better than expected experience. By saying yes to God, I'm making room for him to allow him to surprise me, and he does. How about you? Are you saying yes? And finally, we reap the benefits. In this story, Jesus is doing something different. One of the special things about the Bible is that it's full of these holy paradoxes. For example, it is when we are weak that we find strength. It's only in total surrender to God that we find freedom. It's only when we rely on the God that we have power. Another paradox is that God is eternal and unchanging, yet his mercies are new every morning. He wants us to sing a new song, and he says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." At this wedding, Jesus saved the best wine for last. It was the wine that he, the creator, personally made for the feast. The wine that he offers now is the better wine. It doesn't make sense, but the benefits are far better. The miracle at the wedding was not what was expected. Verse 11 says, "What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him." When Jesus shows up on the scene, he gives us what we need, but the unexpected things happen. Sometimes something unbelievable happened here. Water was turned into wine. The bride and groom were kept from embarrassment. God manifested his glory. He was glorified. What a privilege it is to serve a God who does what he says he will do, but often in ways that we would never expect or imagine could be done. He heals broken hearts, beaten down spirits, and worn out bodies. He gets the glory, we reap the benefits. He provides for our needs. When we tithe, he gives back abundantly. He gets the glory, we reap the benefits. He delivers us from the oppression of addictions and worldly influences that we alone can't free ourselves from. He gets the glory, we reap the benefits. He saves souls from hell. He gets the glory, and we receive the eternal benefits. How boring it would be if he operated according to our limited imaginations. But he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. Jesus could have spoken the word and kept the wine glasses from ever going empty at the wedding. But he chooses to use people to accomplish his work. Why did he use the servants to fill the jars of water? Because witnesses testify. Why did he have them take them to the wine to the master of the feast? Because the recipients of his grace tell others. God gets the glory, we reap the benefits. And through the though the benefits are always what we need, they are seldom what we expect. So let's recap these three things we learn about making room for God and experiencing this better than expected life. Firstly, we recognize our need for the Lord, that he is the power and the glory. Secondly, we respond with obedience. Have a whatever he says attitude. Let your answer always be yes. And thirdly, we reap the benefits. This is the good part. God gets the glory, we reap the benefits. Surely, as followers of Jesus, part of the motivation of our relationship with him is about a life that is better than expected, a life on a different level, even though we experience the everyday stuff of life that everyone else does. Isn't that the faith and the trust that we hold on to? Isn't it? That he is able, more than able, to do much more than you and I could ever dream. Well, I wonder this morning if you're living life in that better than expected level. Are you recognizing your need for Jesus? Are you responding with obedience? Are you saying yes? And are you reaping the benefits from it? Well, as we think about that, for a moment of reflection, we're going to use that lovely little chorus that says, he is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He's able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. But here it is. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He's able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. Are you saying yes? That's all I really want to ask the question. Are you saying yes? Are you saying yes? Let's have a moment to think of that. Matthew, we just play the tune through to remind us how it goes. This is what relationship with God is all about, to living on that better than expected level. We talk about Jesus coming to give us life in all its fullness. This is what that is, recognizing our need for him, living obedient to him, and then living in the shower of his blessing. That's reaping the benefits. Are we saying yes to that? I want my answer always to be a big yes. Do you? So you sing this chorus with me, believing that he is able and making that decision that I want to say yes. I recognize my need for you and I will say yes. Let's sing it. He is able.
Thank you.
So I want you just for a moment to think about where you are in your life. What's happening this week? What's happening to you today? And just in the quietness, recognize your need for Jesus. Ask. We've no more wine. Ask. What do you need from him? And I wonder, as you are prompted this week to respond to things to do with that situation or how you're feeling, as you respond, are you saying yes to Jesus? Are you making room for him in your life? Are you being obedient to him? This week, we want to actively find those moments where we are making room for God in the situations and the experiences that we face, being obedient to him. Heavenly Father, Creator God, all power and authority belongs to you. I thank you for the many examples of that we read in your word. I thank you for the many examples of that are in this room, that we've experienced already of your power and authority in our lives. I thank you for all the many ways in which you have met our needs and responded to us asking and us crying out for your help. Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you that you are able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. And I thank you that you are more than able to do much more than I could ever dream. And I pray for myself and I pray for my friends here that this week we would experience that. We would experience that in our lives, that you would do far more than we could ever dream. And I ask, Lord, that we would experience that around us in the world that we see, that you would be at work. Lord, I would ask that you would find moments, help us to stop and see you in each experience that we have. See you working, see you prompting us. Make room for you in our lives this week. I ask that, Lord. I want to say yes. And I want to live obedient to you. And I pray that you would help me to find, and help my friends here to find those experiences, to stop and to see you at work. And so, Lord, I pray just now for each of my friends here, that we would just allow ourselves to make room for you, that your spirit would come upon each of us, prompting us this week to make room for you, to seek you in all that we're doing, and to say yes to you. And I pray, Lord, that in so doing, we would be surprised and that we would be living on this better than expected level. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who came to bring us life in all its fullness. Lord, help us to live that life out this week, whatever it is for each one of us. Amen. Amen. And so life, our church, can be much better than expected when we make room for God, recognize our need for him, obey him, and reap the benefits, even if we have to wait till eternity for some of those things to be realized. It's not rocket science. It's something we know and we've heard of over and over again, and yet we need to be reminded of it over and over again, because we need to always seek to find that better way.